Holy, 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 merciful, and mighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Today is Trinity Sunday. It falls each year on the first Sunday after the day of Pentecost. It's a day set aside to ponder the mystery of the triune God, one God in three persons. It's difficult to preach about the Trinity. Specifically, it's difficult to preach about the Trinity without committing heresy. But here goes. The oldest formulation of the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We just heard it, kind of, in the portion of the second letter to the church at Corinth, written by our patron, St. Paul, and clearly in the gospel reading from Matthew's gospel. Paul writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Matthew's gospel was written later in the first century than Paul's letters to the church at Corinth in Greece. In the portion we've just heard from Matthew, the Trinitarian baptismal formula of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is already being used as Jesus gives the Great Commission. Although there are various names for God and descriptions of the activity of God all over Scripture in both Testaments, and this very clear Trinitarian formula at the end of Matthew's Gospel, in fact, there is no doctrine of the Holy Trinity to be found in Scripture. It took the church about three centuries to work out the orthodox doctrine of the Trinity, and along the way there was a lot of disagreement. Fights, including fist fights in the council, lots of Christian charity. There were many different approaches and opinions and understandings, and the approaches and opinions determined not to be orthodox, not to be correct, are among the ones we know today as heresies. And the ones thought to be orthodox are preserved in the Nicene Creed, which we stand together and recite Sunday by Sunday. It's an irony of church history that the things everyone agreed on, the primacy of love, the importance of forgiveness, are not mentioned in the creeds, but rather the things everyone was fighting about are enumerated very precisely. Make sure everybody stays on the orthodox path. 300 years, give or take, before there's a doctrine of the Trinity, and yet the Trinity is so much more than a doctrine. The Trinity is a community. It's a model for the life of God and for our life in God together. One God in divine community. The Trinity is the ideal relationship, the perfect community. It expresses the reality that God's own life is relational. There are many formulations of the Trinity, and everyone that I have ever heard is relational. The one I use most often before preaching is Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The oldest one of all is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Others have been put forth across the centuries, and in English, some of these come out this way: parent, sibling, advocate, mother, lover, and friend, Creator, Christ, and Comforter. And from New Zealand, in the New Zealand Prayer Book, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver. However we may name the persons of the Trinity, they exist in relationship and in perfect alignment and perpetual interdependence. One of the persons cannot and does not exist without the other two. In that alignment and interdependence, there is clarity of role, congruence of activity, collaboration of function or activity. Brazilian liberation theologian Leonardo Boff views the Trinity as the ideal community. It is the communion of a three, he says, not the solitude of a one. Because of his view of the Trinity, Leonardo Boff is convinced that community is, quote, the deepest and most foundational reality that exists, end quote. He goes on to say, because we are made in the image of God, if God means three divine persons in eternal communion among themselves, then we must conclude that we also, sons and daughters, children of God, are called to communion. Hence, we are community beings. In Boff's vision, the way God relates to God's own self and divine community is the way that human beings, or at least Christians, should relate to one another. The Trinity is, he says, quote, our program of liberation achieved to the infinite, difference and distinction, equality and perfect communion, and union of persons to the point of being a single dynamic divine reality in eternal reproduction. Looking at the Trinity, he says, we draw conclusions for our own social reality with a view to changing it, which is to say, understanding the Trinity as the ideal divine community, we see how we might aspire to live in human community with one another. In the Great Commission in Matthew that we've heard this morning, Jesus speaks to a mixed audience on a mountain in the Galilee. It's the mountain he's told his disciples to meet him at in Matthew's gospel. 40 days after his resurrection, the 11 disciples, still down one. All 11 of them, every one of them, is a disciple of Jesus. And Matthew says, they recognized him on the mountain. They worshiped him, and some of them doubted. What Jesus says of himself in this passage is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. The sense of the Greek in this passage is not of an authority to dominate or subjugate, but of an authority to serve, an authority of service, an authority to do what is right and just. This is what the first century disciples and we are commissioned, sent together to do in God's world, to serve together in unity in the midst of the diversity that we ourselves embody. Isn't it something to think of the unity we can experience as a diverse community of human persons? On the day we particularly ponder the unity of the diverse divine persons of the Trinity, the diverse community within God's own self. The Trinity is much more than a doctrine or a model or a blueprint or concept design, or program. And ultimately, like so many parts of our rich and wonderful, complex tradition, more than anything, the Trinity expresses a mystery. Not a mystery designed to confuse or exasperate us. Not a test to see if we will believe ridiculous things or give intellectual assent to propositions that strain credulity. Not something to be explained or to be explained away, as if anyone could explain it. But rather, the Trinity is something, a divine reality to be experienced, tasted, felt, seen, heard, experienced, and lived. A mystery in which we may take delight, at which we may marvel, and in response to which, to whom, we can only bow in worship. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.